You should be warned, the upcoming episode will be full of unfiltered, off-the-cuff discussion. As such, you should consider this your spoiler warning.
Experience grinders, assemble! Oh man, that was really good. Hello, my name is Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And that was our special Avengers intro to this really, really dumb podcast we do called Experience Grind, where the point is to grind out every experience we have and, you know, give you our honest opinions on those experiences. It's adaptability. I molded that.
That was really well done, considering you went off script.
Our script doesn't always work. So, kind of a short, big bang out here. I mean, we're not going to get as involved. Well, I'm sure we will. But I think we don't have Nathan here to really drum up the works, or gum up the works, I should say. And slowly these discussions to a grinding
at the end
halt.
I'll pull out a list, yeah. And we'll just go over everything
that we've already
that's
discussed
on the list to make sure we've talked about.
Yeah, fair enough. I like it. But we're going to talk about, I think this is our first big movie of the year.
Well, maybe the first one that works. I don't know, because Batman versus Superman is probably arguably the biggest, or actually even before that, Deadpool.
Yeah. But I think this movie will end up being bigger than Batman versus Superman.
Well, yeah.
You don't agree?
I mean, what do you mean bigger? Like, is it going to make more money? Is it going to be more resonant with audiences?
That's what I think, more resonant with audiences. I think it's generally already more well-liked.
Yeah.
We're discussing today, it's going to be our review of Captain America: Civil War.
Yeah.
So, cat's out of the bag. Meow.
Spoiler.
Yeah, spoiler.
Meow.
And in case you didn't hear Ryan's lovely wife at the beginning, here it is again. Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen the movie, you probably shouldn't listen to this right now, because we're going to get in depth and talk about all aspects of the movie. So,
yep, nothing held back.
So I guess we'll go on. And I had texted you earlier and I said I really only had one thing that I didn't like about the movie, and it's so minuscule. So I just want to get it out of the way. But the one complaint I do have, and it's been my complaint with a lot of these Marvel movies in general, is that it continuously feels like the middle movie of a trilogy. Like, I mean, things happen, but not, it's always just, it's setup for setup for setup. And I mean, it doesn't take it away. It's just, that's my one complaint with it.
Because
I mean, there's all that setup still that you just see happening, and it's like, oh yeah, well, I mean, nothing's going to conclude at this point. And even the parts that I thought would conclude didn't. Like the whole, I expected them to button up the whole Iron Man, Captain America thing, and that's still pretty wide open, gaping, wounded hole at this point at the end of the movie. Big spoiler right there. So,
well, we told you. I think that's a very legitimate argument, because actually for this movie specifically, yes, I think this does feel like things aren't really wrapped up neatly, and probably will not be wrapped up again until Infinity War, when
that's
that comes around.
I
don't necessarily feel that with the other movies. I mean, like Age of Ultron is like one of the messier ones that is a middle chapter. It's the second Avengers movie in what is a trilogy, essentially, right? But they kind of wrap up the villain,
they wrap everything up.
Civil War doesn't really do that. Like, the villains, I mean, he's locked up, but kind of, I don't know, it's hard to talk about. I can spoil.
Yeah,
like, I'm
spoiler
it, talking around, we just gave the spoiler warning. So yeah, the villain's plot ultimately succeeds.
Yeah, I mean, he drove the wedge through Captain America and Iron Man,
and that's it. Like, there's no enemy for them to fight. It's just a team breaking up, so they break up, and I guess that's like the end of an arc, but it does feel like it's set up for the story later. And I felt that more in this movie than I have in other movies, whereas like it ended and I was like, oh, that's it.
Yeah, exactly. That was my, it's like, oh, so, okay.
Yeah, and it wasn't done in the way that like Age of Ultron ends with, I love how Joss Whedon ends it right before Steve Rogers can say Avengers,
and
it cuts before you can say assemble. And I was like, that's great. That's great teasing the audience. Whereas this one just felt like, I feel like there's like another 20, 30 minutes that we could wrap stuff up.
Precisely,
like,
yeah.
That's fine. You know what? Give me the Return of the King ending where we have like a bunch of different endings. I'll sit through them.
But
I need a little bit more.
That's really my only complaint on an otherwise really fantastic movie. It was, it was fun. It was a lot more coherent, I feel, and put together than Batman versus Superman. And it was only 8 minutes shorter.
Mm-hmm.
I did not feel the length of this one that I also did with Batman versus Superman.
And you're coming from the place of liking
and
Batman.
And I'm the one that likes it, yeah. I think as this movie just does everything so much better. I was really worried. I told you this, too, before, about bloat with there being so many fucking characters in this movie. Mm-hmm. I didn't see a way that it was really going to work. And it works flawlessly.
Yeah. I think I'm going to take off from where you said about the Batman vs. Superman stuff, and I'm going to talk about that real quick and
do
comparisons, and then I'm going to leave that shit behind, and I will not talk about Batman vs. Superman. But it is crazy how similar these two movies are.
Yep.
Coming out only a month and a half apart, like, it is insane. Like, Tony Stark is kind of fueled on vengeance and revenge after his parents die, much like Bruce Wayne. The government kind of steps in and causes the heroes to fight each other. Just like in Batman vs. Superman, there's a genius villain behind the scenes pulling the strings to get these two to fight. The only thing it doesn't do is like the Doomsday stuff. Like, there's no big villain for them to fight, which I love.
Well, it works way better.
Yeah.
Having them just fight each other works so much better than shoehorning in another super powerful villain that is also a part of this.
Agreed.
Having it just be a normal dude that is using things to his advantage is... I think it works out much better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what role that dude's going to play. He's obviously got something.
We're talking about Zemo,
by
the way. Yeah. Baron Zemo from the comics. He is just Zemo here, who is an ex-soldier who lost his family in Sokovia. The Sokovia accident. And at the end of the movie, he's locked up with Martin Freeman's character and still able to come back, which I really enjoyed that. Marvel has a very bad history of killing off villains in the movies, which I'm not a fan of. It's not because like the Batman argument where like, oh, Batman doesn't kill people. Like, that's, he's supposed to be moral and, you know, righteous. And I don't care about that. I do care about like villains being able to show up in the future.
Yeah.
Or like, so
especially if they're well written.
Thanos comes in, like, then he could bring the Red Skull in, and then you can bring these other villains in. It's like, well, that sucks. Like, Ronan, the Accuser, who you like from Guardians of the Galaxy, is like kind of a good guy. He becomes like a good hero in the comics. That would be a really cool arc to see. Marvel killed him off, and that's it. And that's disappointing. And that's it. So that's it. That's my Batman versus Superman talk. Is they are very similar. I was reading an article where somebody said it's like one of those food TV shows where they give like two teams like the ingredients to put a dish together.
Okay, yeah.
And it's just one works very well and one doesn't, because the scene, the
vision can get muddied and
It can. But like it's the same story. It's the same concept. It's the same themes, just done much better in one. Like, whether you like Batman versus Superman or not, like, one is clearly handled with more care.
Yeah.
And I think that's Civil War. So that's all I'm going to say about Batman versus Superman. Fair My enough. Piece is done.
I want to talk about the villain of this again a little bit more. I think he works really well, again, for not having any superpowers. I thought it was kind of a cop-out, how he just sort of ends the other super soldiers. I thought that was a little bit...
Yeah.
I mean, I could have seen something there. Maybe they, you know, they got there before they took one of them out. Yeah, I don't know.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I mean...
It's this big red herring.
Yeah, it's a big build-up to
much
nothing.
Much in Iron Man 3 with, like, the Mandarin. It's like, oh, this is the threat, is Zemo's on the run. He's going to get these Winter Soldiers, essentially. Just, like, a whole patrol of Winter Soldiers.
That are better than the Winter Soldier we know.
Yes, that are more threatening. Yeah. Yes, yeah. So, like, that becomes the focus, is Captain America has to get there and stop him in time. Only they get there too late, and they're already dead.
Yeah.
Like, this guy just killed all the other Winter Soldiers. He hates power. He hates that there are people with more exceptional, like, abilities than he does. So he wants to get rid of that. I kind of like that twist, that that is the entire drive of, like, the last half of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's a throw-off. Like, that's not his plan at all. So I kind of dig that.
I liked, I really liked the setup. I don't know if it worked out this way in the comics. I don't know Bucky and the Winter Soldier's actual much involvement in the Civil War arc. Did they actually have him killing Tony Stark's parents in that at all?
Oh, I don't know about that.
I don't remember
from the books, but he didn't have much of an arc in Civil War.
No. I really liked that aspect that they had him doing that in this one. That added a lot, I thought.
Yeah, I think they added him primarily to keep it a Captain America movie, because that's the way you do all of this. You can have Bucky be the catalyst for everything, and that way it becomes intrinsically a Captain America story because Steve Rogers has to deal with his friend being accused of all this stuff.
His oldest friend.
Because otherwise it would just be Avengers Civil War if you didn't have the Bucky angle.
It works. I liked... Man, again, it's all so much things that I did like about this movie. Mm-hmm. It's compared to like Batman vs. Superman where I felt I had to defend it a lot. I don't feel that way at all. Like with this, it stands on its own merit. Again, I think the one thing that will prevent it from holding up to a lot of repeat viewings too is maybe the fact that it is such that just middle piece, and it is a bit long. I mean, it is 2 hours 24, I think. Somewhere
I think
around
it
there.
Might be longer than that, but yeah, it's long.
But there's a lot of good packed into that long. Mm-hmm. That airport fight scene is just.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. It's one of the best comic book fight scenes in all movies. It is.
Period. I think a big part of that, too, was the part that I was hating on primarily before we got to it. But, man, Spider-Man adds a shitload to this movie. And the fact, like, I love that they don't treat it, you know, it's not origin story bullshit. Mm-hmm. They give you the, you know who Spider-Man is, you know what he's about, you don't need that bullshit. So here he is, already established in his own role. In New York. Mm-hmm. I totally actually had completely forgotten he was in this movie up until the part where like he walks onto screen. Like even when it shows him in Queens, I was like, what is his backup plan in Queens? What is going on here? I totally forgot. It was a nice surprise.
I forgot too. Yeah. Like I didn't pick up on the pieces of the Queens. Not at stuff. All. Like Spider-Man's coming. I was just ignorant to it all.
I was like, what?
Ignorant.
Oh, that's a sound engineer, Andy Byrne.
If you don't get that, follow his Twitter.
Yeah, you really should.
Sound ENG Andy on Twitter.
He's not ignorant, though. He's great.
Or maybe he is. You should tell him at sound engineer Andy.
He can't
E-N-G.
Spell the word s'mores. I do know that, the poor guy. Someday, though, buddy.
I told you I was going to get this in the podcast, and I did. So, yeah, I completely forgot that Spider-Man showed up in this. So it's even though that surprise was kind of ruined by the trailers, it still was a surprise in the movie, like when it did. And then the bigger surprise was that it was done so well.
Yeah.
I think I will say, and I'm like a huge fan of Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi one with Tobey Maguire.
I think it's the best Spider-Man movie ever.
Yeah.
And it holds up as still one of the best superhero movies.
Yeah.
In
my top Marvel movies for sure. Of
really
any of
well
them.
Done.
Love it. I think this, Tom Holland, I think this is the best Spider-Man
ever
we've had.
Yep.
Tobey Maguire was great as Peter Parker and fine as Spider-Man, though the fight scenes were like really, really well done. The choreography was good and quick as Spider-Man should be.
It should be, yep.
But there was something missing from his Spider-Man performance, and many people were like, well, Andrew Garfield was a great Spider-Man, but like a really bad Peter Parker. And it's like, I didn't feel it there either. Like, I still didn't feel like his Spider-Man was very good. It felt a little smarmy.
Yeah.
And not like...
It's so hard to nail perfectly.
It is,
but when you
he's
see
not
it,
smarmy.
It's like pornography and art. Like, you know, the thing is...
You know what gives you a boner and what doesn't?
What?
And for me, Picasso's Starry Night gives me a boner.
Picasso didn't do Starry Night, though. That was Van Gogh.
I knew that. Being ignorant gives me a boner.
No, they say, you know, when you see, I can't define pornography, but I know it when I see it.
Yes.
I can't define what makes a really great Spider-Man performance.
That line, yeah.
But I know it when I see it. And yeah, he totally is getting it. Because my favorite parts were his interactions with Tony, because they're both so quippy and so smart, man. And they're... It's much better than the stuff with, like, Tony and Banner, which was, like, they're the original two bros.
Yeah.
But, like, Banner's always so reserved, I guess, to not bring the Hulk out. So he's always really deadpan and dry, whereas, like, Spider-Man is a young, spunky kid. And it's just, man, it's playing off that Tony energy perfectly. And they complement each other so well.
Mm-hmm. I do wonder, and I'll speak more to that in a minute, but I do wonder how well Spider-Man Homecoming is the movie coming up with him. I wonder how well it's going to work. I know Robert Downey Jr. is in some of it for sure, but like how well those scenes are going to work without him, because I think that really adds to the magic of it, is that dynamic between Tony Stark and Peter Parker is great.
Yeah.
Like you said, like I love it. For me, it was like in Iron Man 3 where he was bouncing off the young kid Harley, and it was that same kind of spunk giving it back. Back and just the quick kind of biting wit
Yeah.
That Downey throws where it's kind of almost mean-spirited, but not quite.
It plays that line very well.
It does. It's so good.
Testament
and
to Downey.
I think that, 10 out of 10, like, that is some of my favorite parts of this movie. So I wonder when we don't have that, because really, that's, we have the scene at his apartment with Tony Stark, mm-hmm. and then we have him in the fight. I wonder how well he's going to work as Spider-Man when you take those two things away, and he has to just function in a scene with just other kids his own age or something like that at school. I don't know. I don't know how well it will hold up. I hope it does well. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get so doubtful, but like, it just makes me wonder, but I am so on board with this Spider-Man.
I'm on board because Marvel's involved now. Yes. And they obviously get the character. I can take that just from this small taste in Civil War. They know what to do with him, which everybody's always said, you know, when Marvel's in control of their own characters, it's weird those movies don't suck. Or if they never suck. Some of them aren't as great,
mm-hmm.
but they're always way better than a lot of the crap we've gotten recently.
Yeah.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2 to be number, you know, holy fuck, man. What was going on there? They don't know.
Middle chapter trying to set up way too much stuff that they couldn't pay off. And then also like I did it.
He did it.
Also okay. like Batman versus Superman, they try to cram too many things in. It's like, oh, we're going to talk about Sinister Six, and oh, this Electro story arc, and then, oh, we're also going to do the death of Gwen Stacy, and then, oh, all of this. They just try to do too much. Whereas, I'll lead this back to Civil War. I think Civil War does it very well in the fact that there's a lot of players, there are a lot of things going on, but at its core, at the end of the day, it is a very tight story between Captain America and Winter Soldier, and then how that relationship affects the team he's on. Mm-hmm. And that is it.
Yep.
That is why I've heard people complain about this villain being not present enough. I think that works to the movie's strength. Like, that's a good thing. You need a weak villain that's kind of in the background.
Exactly. And that's
to give focus to these.
And that's who we care about. I mean, and especially this villain himself is, his entire thing is being in the background and pulling strings.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need to see him at the forefront. I need to see that, oh, he's manipulating things. Okay, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on. Don't know. I'm not here to see him twist Steve Rogers' arms. I'm here to see Captain America and Iron Man punch each other in the face. And I fucking get that.
You do. You get a lot of that.
Yeah, a lot of great fights. So maybe I don't remember, but like, is the arc reactor not on Tony anymore? Not in his chest?
No. Iron Man 3. Is that Iron Man 3? He got it surgically removed.
That's okay.
So now the arc reactor literally is only in the suits, and it powers the suits only. So,
and at first I was like, I thought that like he was killing him.
It confused some people when he throws it in.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, that's going to kill him. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I forget.
It's gone. Like, he's okay.
Okay, so he does get that shit cut out. Okay. Mm-hmm.
By some Chinese doctor to pander to the Chinese audiences in Iron Man 3.
Was it? I thought it was the same chick from Age of Ultron.
It is not Helen Cho.
It is not her?
Okay. It is. Okay. It is.
Because I'm remembering now more of it.
I want to say it's Dr. Wong, but that might be racist that I'm thinking it's Dr. Wong.
So you might be Wong in that assessment? Oh, I just made it more racist.
That's good.
Yeah, right? Ah, yeah. Just Chinese
people.
You got
to do it in like a nice Mickey Rooney Breakfast at Tiffany's. voice.
God, that movie. That's almost episode one-esque in its racism. It's overtly really racist tones.
Oh, that's the worst.
What do you think of what they've done to Aunt May?
Well, I know what you're referring to, is that it's Marissa Tomei, and she is hot.
Hot Aunt May.
Oh, my God. Well, one, she's 51, yeah. So she fits the age.
Okay.
Perfect.
Yep.
That she's hot, I'm okay with.
I like the mix-up. So, again, it's change that is okay and doesn't fuck with the story, but adds interesting elements. It's not making Spider-Man gay or whatever, you know, because so many people want to just change established characters to these. Like, there's a big outcry because Captain America and Bucky didn't have a big gay kiss. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Is that a big outcry?
I've seen it on the internet.
Okay, just because you see something on the internet somewhere doesn't mean it's a big outcry.
I spend a lot of time on the internet, so I don't know what is a big outcry, but I see it mentioned more than like 3 times. I think that there's something happening here.
Let me tell you.
Tell me, please.
I don't. Not really you, but just
audience.
The world at large. Like, if you are hoping for a Steve Rogers and Bucky kiss at the end of Civil War,
not gonna happen.
You've not been watching the movie. Like, what the fuck did you think that was gonna happen?
I don't know. People are dumb, dude.
Like, what? Equal rights.
Yeah, me too. I'm totally into it. But Fort,
but it serves no purpose for the story. No. There's just no reason. And it'd just be really kind of weird that that happens after all the stuff we've already seen. Like, well, Steve Rogers is obviously, like, you know, heterosexual. He's into the Carters, all of them.
All of them.
That whole family.
He's going to run through
Carters.
He's just going to run through all of them. Just, man, just screw it. Man.
So
Captain America, baby.
Now we're getting into this other thing.
Yeah, which we let's bring it
let's
back.
Let's not be ignorant. Let's pull it back.
So that's just, you know, it is a nice change, I feel. Like, it's doing something different. So many times we've seen Aunt May as this doting, worrying old lady.
Yeah.
To see her as a modern something, hot, snazzy, still somewhat worrying.
She could still be doting lady. And worrying. And
yeah.
She kind of is.
But
at the end.
It's not like she's like your significant other's hot aunt rather than your doting grandmother. And it's cool.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
It's not a big change.
Exactly. It's not big. It's not drastic.
Yeah.
But it adds some fun flavor. I love that Tony Stark is annoying Peter Parker with it, and the fact that he's very clearly hitting on Aunt May in his presence and makes it known. And it ruffles Spider-Man's feathers a little bit. It gets him off his game, and I like that.
That kind of leads me to a possible negative, because I have a few that we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
But one is kind of...
I have another one that I've thought up, too.
Yeah, and yours, hitting on Aunt May thing kind of brings it up, but, like, the Pepper Potts relationship here just...
has fallen apart again?
I guess.
Yeah.
And, like, I get it, because at the end of Iron Man 3, he says he's going to give up being Iron Man for her. So it makes sense that now they are kind of on the out and out. But it just feels like it doesn't feel organic to the story. It just feels like we don't have room for her in this movie. And we also don't want to pay for Gwyneth Paltrow in this movie. So we're just going to make a line.
Well, it also, I feel, cheapens Iron Man a bit, because he tells Steve one of the big reasons he's pushing for these accords is because he wants Pepper back. And that's like almost a throwaway line, but he says he's doing it, you know, to show Pepper that he's trying to do things and
the accountability.
Yeah, and it's like,
which he's always had an issue
with. Just see, it's like, so he's not doing it for anything that he really believes in. It's for a girl.
So I didn't really like that.
Yeah, it seemed to kind of cheapen. Like, why are you holding on to this stance so hard? Like,
well,
and you're giving up your friendship, like a great friendship with a dude you've saved the world with multiple times.
Well, I think that's covered, not necessarily from the Pepper Potts situation, but it's. We get Alfred Woodard. He gives this talk at MIT, is it?
Yeah.
It's one of the big science schools.
MIT's fine.
And he gives a lecture, and then he says, like, oh, I'm going to donate all your projects. I'm contributing.
Funding them all.
Yeah, they're all funded now. Like, whatever. Like, yay science. That's an actual line from the movie. He goes, yay science.
He does.
That, with that kind of inflection, he doesn't care. Like, I don't right now. I lost my train of thought.
Pepper Potts, Iron Man, MIT speech.
So, yeah, so you get Alfred Woodard comes to Tony Stark at the end of this lecture and talks about her son who was volunteering in Sokovia who died because of what happened there. And she blames Tony Stark and all these people, all these heroes, for saving the day and then just leaving the city in wrecks, like there's no help. And so that's his motivation. Like, I think that's covered more than enough. I would almost say a little clunky. I think,
yeah, it is.
The first 15 to 20 minutes are a little clunky. Like, it's the, we're picking up and we have to remind you, like, hey, Winter Soldier's a bad guy because of this stuff in the past. And, oh, hey, this is where Tony Stark stands now and his view of the whole world. For somebody who has been, like, following these movies and kind of knows these characters now, I didn't need that. Probably good for the general audience, but I was saying, like, get it. I get it.
It is very ham-fisted, a little heavy-handed. And also, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. was a... they were a big part of the evacuation of Sokovia. Like, they were fucking all over that place. They didn't just pick up and leave. Like,
they helped so many people. They went out of their way to save so many and show you how many people they saved. It's kind of understandable that one person feels that way. But to make that the driving point for Tony Stark, it's clunky. Just clunky.
Did Sokovia have a shit ton of vibranium too? Like, why was Ultron taking Sokovia?
It was just a spot.
Is that what it was? Because I thought there was like something special that's...
No, no, no. Because he goes to Wakanda to get the vibranium.
Yeah.
He just stays in Sokovia at this... Because I think that's where Baron von Strucker's base was.
Oh, there was a Hydra base. That's what it was.
So he just
kind of repurposed
the Hydra base.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's why it's in Eastern Europe. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, never mind. So another thing I did notice, it seemed like the spider sense was a bit selective. Right? I mean, and that's just splitting hairs here. But there are a couple times it's like he totally just... took a hit, but like, what, spider sense is just not working at that moment? I mean, you gotta have flaws, and Spider-Man does get hit, but at other times it shows it working flawlessly, and then like Falcon gets the drop on him a couple times, and it's like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think for that whole scene, you kind of have to suspend your disbelief.
I guess so.
Because otherwise, like, if all of these heroes are at their A game, nobody's going to hit nobody. Then you don't have, like, the outcome doesn't happen, because why would Vision do that? Oh, because he wasn't concentrating or whatever. It's all kind of silly. You just kind of have to go with it for the spectacle of it.
Fair enough. And it was a good spectacle. I like that of spectacle. Falcon flying through the rafters and Spider-Man also swinging through them. That was a really nice scene.
I mean, let's just talk about that scene, because I think that's the set piece of the movie. Like, there's a more intimate fight later. There's some cooler stuff earlier on. But, like, that 15-minute airport fight in Germany is fantastic. We've already talked about it a little bit. But, like, I love just the interactions between them. Specifically, like, Sam and Bucky fighting Spider-Man. And how Sam goes, like, you know, there's usually not this much talking during a fight.
Yeah.
To, like, Spider-Man, who is, like, it's not that Andrew Garfield smarminess.
Yeah.
It is just a kid being overwhelmed. Like, he's, like, shouting around, like, just, oh, man, I'm just trying to impress Tony Stark, guys. Yeah. Like, just, come on. Like,
can you help me out here?
He's barely keeping together. I love... the Empire Strikes Back reference that they can make now because Disney owns both properties.
It's a great piece, especially when he's like, he doesn't even call it Empire, does he?
Do you remember that old movie, Empire Strikes Back or something? Or
on the
Empire.
Snow planet.
Yeah. And so it's written just like a kid would, because that's what a kid would say. He wouldn't have reverence for those movies. It's just that old movie. You remember the one with the giant things on that ice planet?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it would be.
And it works so well.
Yeah.
And it's the way that they take down Ant-Man, who has grown up to 50 feet high.
I mean,
five stories.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gigantic.
Giant Man is in this movie. 10 out of 10.
It works, and it works, man.
Just, it's the best. Giant Man.
End of review.
Oh, you're done? You're walking away?
Just Giant Man is in a movie.
I really like the whole thing with Hawkeye and Black Widow fighting, but they're not fighting, and they're just like, hey, we're still friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Scarlet Witch jerks her away, and she's like, you were pulling your punches.
That's a great scene, and I kind of love that little tag on of Scarlet Witch throwing her.
Yeah.
And just being like, you're pulling your punches. Like, it's a good call out to what's happening.
Yeah, I had no idea. That was another surprise. I didn't know Hawkeye was in this movie at all. I mean, I guess I do now, thinking back because of the trailer, but again, that was when he showed up, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, Hawkeye.
Forgot, yeah. He really doesn't have any purpose for being here other than just ranks.
Get arrested.
Yeah, he needs to be there for plot.
Yep, get arrested and...
Really, in all honesty, like, he's only there, not even because of the arrest, he is only there to shoot Ant-Man on an arrow. That is the only reason he shows up.
Speaking of, man, also, goddamn, I love Paul Rudd as Ant-Man.
I mean, yeah, so we'll get back to... Spider-Man, we already talked about. He's a new addition. Black Panther's a new addition. We will talk about him more for sure. But for me, Ant-Man just has the best moments of this entire movie.
He's always so good. And that's Paul Rudd just being so fucking good at comedic timing and knowing what needs where. And just, man, like...
Mm-hmm.
When they fucking wake him up out of the van, and it's like, oh, goddamn, Ant-Man's here too. Fuck, I forgot all this shit. It's all such a nice surprise.
He does. So in his awkward meeting of Captain America, he like stumbles about, like doesn't know what to do. He shakes his arm for too long.
Yeah.
But like one of the nice subtle touches is he goes and touches Captain America's chest.
Yeah.
Just like Peggy Carter does, like the first time he comes out of the Vita chamber in the first movie. So it's a nice little callback, but also something that character would do. He's just like, oh, yeah.
It also shows like the star power, I guess, or the celebrity of Captain America. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, he is the ultimate good boy.
Yes.
For like, you think good, it's Captain America, especially mm-hmm. in the Marvel Universe. He does no wrong. He stands up for what he believes in. He's truth, power, mm-hmm. the American way. He's Superman almost.
Yeah.
Except that he can't fly. But I mean.
That's okay.
He's got... He's got those fucking impossible good looks. He's the man every man wants to be, every chick wants to get with. Like, and yeah, just that, it's that ultra celebrity. And the and when Paul Rudd meets him, even though Paul Rudd is a superhero Ant-Man, the caliber difference of the meeting, it's like a minor league player meeting Babe Ruth or something.
I mean, that's
something.
What it is. Yeah. There's a line at the end of the movie when, spoilers, Captain America's team is pretty much in jail. They're in prison from the fallout. And as Tony Stark's paying a visit, he goes around to all the cells and he stops at Scott's cell, Ant-Man, and he goes, Scott goes something to the effect of, Hank Pym was right. You can never trust a Stark. And Tony Stark just looks at him and goes, who are you?
Yeah.
And
who
then
are you
walks
again?
Away. And
that's,
it's like
the only
the
interaction.
Damning thing.
Who are you again?
But it does. It points out like the scale of the celebrity of these heroes. And Ant-Man is fucking low tier.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, why he shows up on Captain America's team is like the ace in the hole. Tony Stark has Spider-Man.
Yeah, and that was cool. I like that they both had their, and they were both insect-related superheroes.
Two bugs, yeah.
I really like the interaction when Ant-Man meets up with Falcon again. I thought that was funny because he's like, it's cool, man. It's water under the bridge. Because they had that big fight in Ant-Man.
Yeah.
And yeah, just again, nice little touches here and there. It's all those things like that make you feel good for watching all of these movies throughout the years.
It's payoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. This movie is a lot of payoff and set up for future.
Of course.
And that's
shit
that's,
tons of setup.
That's why you say it does feel like the second movie of a trilogy. And it feels like that. It does feel like that. Black Panther.
Let's
talk about Black Panther. I don't know if you are even familiar with him from the comics.
I mean, vicariously, little bits here and there.
That's fair.
Thought he worked really fucking well in this.
Yes, this is a Captain America and Bucky story. It feels like Black Panther is as important as Tony Stark is to the story, maybe even more so, because he's kind of like the catalyst, and he is like the revenge story is like focused on him. And he's the only one who doesn't succumb to it and like has the nice ending with Zemo where
he forgives him,
doesn't seek his revenge, and then stops him from killing himself to make him live with it. And like, I think that's great. So like, maybe arguably this is a Black Panther story more so than everybody else.
I really like that touch too. I thought they were going to get really dark, and I thought that dude was going to kill himself. And I like that touch that at the last second he stopped it. I like that his whole suit is made of vibranium. That gives it a lot of badassness.
Oh my God, just the shot with like the helicopters raining bullets on him, and he just slowly stands
turns
and
around,
looks straight at it while getting shot with this big caliber gun. Oh, it's so good.
So is he also just unnaturally fast, too, or does the suit lend itself to that? Do we know? You don't know much about Black Panther?
Well, he is fast in the comics, but the movie, everybody's running fast in that time.
Well,
like, Winter Soldier, too, is like, I don't remember. Like, maybe I'm wrong. I don't think he has the super soldier serum in him, so that he can run fast is just whatever.
I thought he had a degenerated one.
He has something that...
I thought he has a winter soldier, because he has the same one, well, not the same one as the other guys, but he's also got something.
He has some kind of serum in
it. It's like, it's a knockoff. I mean, nobody has the Steve Rogers
one. From Zola. So,
well, no, I mean, I do like that fact that Captain America can run really fucking fast. That makes sense.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, he totally should be able to.
That's like one of my favorite things from Winter Soldier is him passing Sam on the Washington...
The reflective pool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that just... It's the reflective
pool? Yeah, it's just reflecting pool.
I thought there was like a name for that.
That whole area is called like the Mall?
The Mall. So,
but that pool itself is the reflecting pool.
So they're doing laps around there, and Steve Rogers is just passing him like constantly,
and they're having
like
a conversation
on your left,
yeah.
And so Sam's getting frustrated. He's like, don't you do it on your left, and like, that's great. But so they've paid that off, so when he runs really fast in this movie, I get it. I've never seen the Winter Soldier run fast, so it was kind of weird. And then Black Panther 2 is like, I kind of, oh okay, I guess he runs fast, everybody's just running fast in the tunnel, whatever.
I liked that was a really cool scene when the Winter Soldier takes that motorbike in the tunnel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, really, like, so the airport scene is going to get a lot of the credit as being, like, the scene.
And it should. I mean, that is the big set piece.
Yeah. But I think every set piece in here is really, really well done. And that tunnel scene, it starts off in the Winter Soldier's apartment. Captain America shows up. SWAT team converges. And then they have, like, an elevator.
Oh, man.
Or not an elevator.
A stairwell fight.
Which is
really fucking awesome, too.
Fantastic. Yeah. And then that turns into, like, rooftop chase. And then that turns into this tunnel car chase. It's incredible. And, like, it's... it's, I don't know how they do it, but like every minute there's just like something new and cool in each of these scenes. You're like, wow, that's amazing. Yeah. Wow, yeah. That's amazing. Nope. That's oh my god, they did that. And so it just keeps building until like the end. I think the fight between Tony Stark, Bucky, and Captain America is smaller, it's more intimate, it's more emotional. So you don't need like the big showy stuff in that one, but like every other set piece in this movie just is filled with so many cool moments that are from the comics that are just really neat. And that bike where he takes remove a person from the bike, then turns the motorcycle and then hops in like one smooth motion. It's hard to even describe it.
Yeah, but it looks so fucking cool on screen.
And it looks feasible. Natural. Yeah, like natural. It doesn't look like a CG effect. It doesn't look stupid.
And it's not like it could Legolas like flipping onto a horse. Yeah. Retarded looking.
Yeah. I was thinking like a Fast and the Furious. Like I could see the Fast and Furious movies doing something like this, but it doesn't look good. And you're just like, that was stupid.
And there would be no like, I mean, you know, Winter Soldier has heightened reflexes and reaction times, whereas you and me, I mean, we're the dudes from the Fast and Furious if we wanted to be. Yeah. Like, it doesn't make sense. And it's like, they're not superheroes, they're dudes.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that I really like about this movie. I like the way that all these super humans interact with regular human superheroes on a regular. Like, I mean, does Hawkeye have any special powers, or is he just
no? He's just really a really good marksman.
Like he's. Not,
I mean, you could say it's supernatural how good he is. Is with it his like marksman? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But like Falcon is just a dude with the wingsuit.
Yeah.
That is, but
apparently and that's another thing. Highly like, trained.
Yeah, I would have to assume because he's making some crazy maneuvers too. Like he's keeping pace with Spider-Man, who's like, I mean, that makes sense. The Spider-Man's gonna go through all that weird shit, and then he's also, I'm like, man, he's making some advanced maneuvers in there. He's got to know something.
Well, you can also the new Avengers, all of them, they have what are essentially upgrades in their suits and technology by Tony Stark. And as we see in this movie, Tony Stark has like some kind of program that can just read Captain America's moves and then counter. So if he can do that, then you could say like theoretically it could work that he gives Falcon some kind of sensor or like some program in his wings that help him maneuver easier.
Yeah, I could see that.
Know. That's a stretch maybe, but I don't know. It could be an answer. Could be.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. There's something going on there.
Yeah.
I don't really, I mean, I got just tons of good things to say. I think I've said most of them.
I mean, I'll bring up one more negative, and I'm a little disappointed at the lack of stakes continued in this series. Like, so this big fight between the heroes in the comics, it ends with like Thor, who is, I want to say, a clone of Thor and not the real Thor, ends up putting lightning through not Black Bolt. It's some giant. I don't remember his name right now. It's not Giant Man. It's somebody else. But anyway, ends up throwing lightning through him and killing him. So a hero actually dies. And then they're like, Captain America at this point is like, what have we done? This is wrong. That's how the Civil War ends. And then after the trial and everything, then he gets shot. So there's this catalyst that causes them to stop the fight in the movie too. And I just don't, it's good. It's a good catalyst. It's just not enough. War Machine ends up falling, 50 meters, 100 meters?
I mean, they're pretty high up.
Yeah, he falls from the sky because Vision doesn't concentrate and then shoots at Sam Wilson. I'm like, my brain. Like, I'm having Falcon. Trouble thinking things.
Black Falcon.
Through. Black Falcon. He shoots some laser beam at Black Falcon. Black Falcon jumps out of the way and he ends up hitting War Machine. War Machine falls without power, lands on the ground, is unresponsive, so they have to see what's up. In the story, he's paralyzed. He's paralyzed from the legs?
Yeah,
from
paraplegic. He's not quadriplegic. He still has use of his arms, but his legs
from the upper half still works fine. He's paralyzed from the bottom, and that kind of ends the fight. Actually, really, you could say it doesn't even end the fight, because at that point, Captain America and Bucky have already fucking left. So that's it. Those are your big stakes. Otherwise, nobody really dies. There's no consequences aside from, you know, people are in prison, but they're not, because the end of the movie ends with Captain America freeing them. So there's no stake. So this all happened, and the big takeaway is War Machine can't use his legs, but that's fine, because Tony Stark's gonna make him some robot legs and he can walk just fine.
And he can still use the suits. He'll get like neuro-linked or something.
So not really necessarily a big loss. Like, yeah, it weighs heavy on Tony's heart, but that's what it ends. This whole story ends with
nothing.
Bad feelings.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, nothing really happened, and that's kind of frustrating. I felt like this was the movie where Marvel should not have been pulling punches, and they should have killed somebody off to show that there are stakes and there are consequences to the actions. And I just don't feel like the War Machine thing was enough to then immediately say, like, oh, it's okay, Tony Stark's going to fix him, pretty much.
I agree with you, too. I did read an interesting takeaway from that scene, too, though, and the fact that the Vision did not miss and that he was actually trying to hit War Machine, because War Machine had just hurt Scarlet Witch because she was holding that stuff up, and he blasted her with the sound thing, and there's that whole weird thing with Vision and Scarlet Witch, and the reason that he shot him is because he lost concentration because he was worried about her, and that could be a payoff.
I understand the losing concentration of him worrying about her, and I thought that's what they were touching at. I did not pick up on that it could be a revenge thing at War Machine.
And it would also play up on Vision as a part of Tony's team, and Tony's team is all about revenge, and they let that get the better of them and cloud their judgment throughout this whole movie. That's their whole theme, whereas Captain America's team is all about looking at the truth beyond the black and white. And so,
also, War Machine is C-list. Like, if you're gonna cripple one of the characters, cripple Tony Stark.
Yeah,
cripple Captain America. Cripple somebody big. I mean, you can argue, oh, well, Bucky lost his arm. He lost his metal arm.
Yeah,
gonna make out of vibranium when he comes back in Wakanda later. Whatever. But like, it just you take off C-list. It's like if in Age of Ultron they killed off Hawkeye. Like, he's the easy choice. That's one of the things I appreciate. Is that Joss Whedon played around with the audience so much, like, hey, we're going to kill off Hawkeye. Look, he said, this is my last mission. We're going to kill him off. Hey, look, he has a wife who's expecting kids. They're going to kill him off. And then they don't. And that's brilliant. To go after War Machine
is
cowardly.
Yeah, who cares?
And exactly. Exactly.
I don't care about War Machine. He's okay. He's kind of cool. But he's not who I'm here to see.
Oh, my God. Cripple Spider-Man. What if in Spider-Man's debut they cripple? Because really, in all honesty, Tony Stark, what the fuck was he thinking putting Spider-Man in the middle of all this? It's kind of irresponsible on his part, but that's Tony Stark. He's irresponsible, not really a plot hole. That's just what he does. But what if he was the one that was crippled?
So like Spider-Man in a wheelchair swinging through.
Oh my God. Like, mind's blown. And then he makes a cocoon and then comes out new again. Whatever. Comic logic.
Yeah, it works. I totally get it.
But I mean, that's it. That's all I've got for really nitpicks. They're just nitpicks. They are.
If I got maybe one more of those.
Go for it.
I expected to see goddamn Nick Fury.
Yeah, his absence was a weird one.
Yeah, I mean,
Or Maria Hill, who have like such a big thing in S.H.I.E.L.D.
And to have two of your golden boys fighting against each other, to have neither of them try to step in and reason with them at all is a little... I get it. I mean, the movie is huge with characters already, but still. And to not even have them show up in the after trailer thing. I thought this was the weakest after trailer I've ever seen.
Both of them, or specifically the very last one?
The Spider-Man one.
What
the fuck? Why did I stick around for that? It showed me nothing except that Iron Man had made Spider-Man a cool watch.
A spider signal. Yeah. I think that's what that's supposed to show you is, A, it's like the nice little James Bond thing, like Spider-Man will return. They do this in all their movies. That said, I think it might be like a hint towards like, hey, we're going with silver screen Spidey, or the Silver Age Spidey, like this classic kind of Spidey. And that classic Spidey used to have a spider signal. And so maybe like that's the intention is like, see, this is what we're doing. And like, isn't this a fun nod for you comic people? It's like if there is like a Thanos copter in like one of these. It's like,
oh my God,
fucking dumb relic. But I don't think they'll do that. But there might be like a poster or something with Thanos copter on it.
Or maybe, maybe as we get closer to Infinity War, I mean, if we have an after credit scene where Thanos is stepping into a helicopter, okay, I'll give him that.
Yeah.
But like,
but I'm with you. I like, so I'm trying to explain and defend it, but like, I was let down that was it. Like,
and again, I expected Nick Fury to be coming in and like laying some shit down. Like,
in all honesty, I expected something with Thanos. Like, you're going down this path. You're showing that the Avengers are fractured. They're not a team anymore. Obviously, Thanos comes and then they're going to have to become a team again. That's where the story arc leads, is to Thanos. So to not have it, I don't know, pay off, like, I'm still on like a week. I thought the Thanos tease in Age of Ultron was like super weak, where he just gets a gauntlet and he says, now it's my turn, or whatever he
says. Gonna have to do this myself.
Yeah, and I would like something like maybe show Thanos doing something to make these events happen, or like influencing someone, or just that he's preparing, like not just put on a glove and then 10 years later he's gonna use it to punch some people.
Here we go.
It's not enough.
Yeah.
So we get Spider-Man with the Tony Stark signal. Yeah. But that said, the middle credit was the Black Panther Wakanda scene with Bucky being put into
hibernation,
cryostasis or something, because he's a danger. Because if somebody knows these code words, they can use him, brainwash him to do whatever they want. So he goes to Wakanda, put in cryostasis. I like that.
Yeah, I mean,
I like that a lot. That's a good tease for Black Panther. But like, really, like the implications there. Can you bring Bucky back in the Black Panther movie and have a buddy cop team up between those two who don't really even like each other? I'd watch that. It's like Thor and Hulk. Like, put these weird combinations together.
I'm excited
together.
To see
watch that movie.
What that happens to. But so I don't know. I mean, I think we both obviously land on the same side of the street here. Would you recommend this?
I would highly recommend it.
Would you see it again?
Yeah, I'm going to see it again. Yep. I think it might be a little bit hard for people if you've not seen any of the other movies. If you're going into this
as your first one, yeah,
you're not going to like it.
Don't make it your first one.
I'd almost even say too, like if you've not been a fan of like the Avengers movies or anything, like you're not going to like this one either.
Yeah,
like
it's obviously not.
It's more of an Avengers movie than it is a Captain America movie.
Yes, it is.
Even though he does play like the primary part. So if you like those, go with it.
And I think this, it does them better. It's definitely better than Age of Ultron, I feel.
Oh, yeah. 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 Where would you put this with the other Marvel movies? Like, which ones would you say?
It's in the top five. Yeah. It's maybe even in the top three. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think my favorite is the original Avengers.
Yeah, me too.
And then honestly, it's probably a tie between Ant-Man and Guardians.
Okay.
And maybe this one too. I haven't seen this one enough.
I'm really hesitant to talk about this movie right now because it is so like we just saw it like 3 days ago. Mm-hmm. I'm still kind of fresh.
But this one is definitely up there, probably in the top three. It does definitely hold up. So,
yep.
Highly recommend it. You should see it. It's going to be fucking great. Yep. Outside, it'll leave you wanting a little more. So, that's all I got to say. Anything else for you?
Best action?
Absolutely.
In a superhero movie to this date.
Absolutely.
And I will say real quick, just a little tidbit, a lot of the second unit directing was done by the people who did John Wick, who directed John Wick. So okay. I think specifically that airport scene, like it was the Russo brothers and then the John Wick team directing too. So if you really liked the action in Civil War, you should check out John Wick.
You should check out John Wick movie. In general, because that movie is also kick-ass and Keanu Reeves does fantastic work.
No, agreed.
Yeah,
agreed.
It's got great fucking action scenes. If you like The Matrix, you will like John Wick, even though it is not related at all. No. Even in the fighting styles, but
it's so good.
It's so slick is what I'm trying to get there, I guess.
Yeah.
That's really all we got to say, man. Thank you guys as always. I don't think you don't have our paper, but I think Andrew, our sound engineer, has a new idea for our call outs anyways.
Ooh,
so
it's gonna happen in this one.
I think we will. We can go with it because we don't have the paper. So I think at least for right now, we're gonna just use my mom reading them again. So if you're looking for where to find us, here's my mom to tell you where you can find all of us, our locations.
Oh Lord. At facebook.com/experiencegrind, twitter.com/expgrindpodcast, www.experiencegrind.com. Email experiencegrindpodcast, all spelled out, @gmail.com, twitch.tv/experiencegrind, and search for our content on YouTube.
All right. You know, hey, thanks again, Mom. You're a real sweetheart. We love you. As always.
That's adorable.
Please, you know, talk to us, reach out to us. We have begun doing some requests.
Yeah.
I know that I have. I mean, we're not going to.
We're just not going to do them.
No,
we're
no.
We're getting them. We're not going to do them.
We are doing them. We have started them. It's hard to say when we will have the actual episodes on them, but God, we are always
taking
requests.
Movies are
going
to be easier
than
games, obviously.
I know. We've only had we have had two game requests, and I've started one of them now. Tales from the Borderlands.
You started?
I have started it.
I was thinking about starting that this week.
Yep, just rudimentary, just getting a feel for it. So, but there we go. As always, please, thank you. You guys are the best. But we would do it without you. So go fuck yourself.
There it is.
Grind out.
Boom.